when we think about being an entrepreneur, we stop thinking about what we stop thinking about what we have to offer and start focusing on what we think people need. And the reality is, you can't focus on what other people need because people don't know what they need until you provide it to them.
Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
Welcome, successors, to the Speak Your Success Podcast. I'm your host, TEDx speaker and best-selling author, Jonathan Jones, and we have a special guest in the studio today. We're going to introduce her in just one moment. I'm excited about this interview because we met, I don't know, how long ago did we meet?
I want to say 2 years ago. It's been a while.
At the Millennials to Watch event, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I we were watching the Millennials to Watch for this past year.
Yeah. At what, Sankofa's Kitchen? Sankofa Kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was when I saw
the picture, the pictures that we took.
Really? Okay. Oh, that's what's up. Okay, yeah. Cool. Okay, we're going to introduce you 1 second, but first we're going to start off this episode like we always do, giving the opportunity just to shout out a loyal and faithful listener who left an Apple review, and they're the review of the week. And if you would like the opportunity to be this listener, then I would encourage you just to go on iTunes, type in Speak Your Success, scroll down to the bottom and click write your review. Hopefully it'll be 5 stars, you know, hopefully. But
should be 5 stars.
Hey, yeah, you know, it should be. But if not, hey, we still love you the same. But anyway, the review comes from Gabtron9000. And the review reads, "The interview with Dozy has been my favorite thus far. The content Speak Your Success is putting out is redefining success to me. It's becoming more individually and tailored for me."
Yeah. I'm gonna clap.
Okay, yeah.
Snaps.
Finger snaps. Yeah, well, that's what's up, Gabtron9000. We appreciate the love. We definitely appreciate the support. And that's what the whole goal is here with the Speaker Success Podcast. Alexia, I believe you know, the whole goal is just to be transparent. The whole goal is just to provide tangible application through people sharing their stories.
Tangible application.
Yeah, tangible. Something I can feel. Something I can touch. Something I can do.
Something I can readily put into play and action. I'm here for it.
Yeah, you have to. If not, then it's no good. You know, motivation is cute. Yeah, motivation is cute. Sounds good, you know. And that's about it. Anyway, so today in the studio we have Miss Alexia.
Hi everybody.
And just a little bit about Miss Alexia. She is the owner of the Wonderluster.
Travel agency.
Okay. and just a little bit about the Wonderluster Travel Agency. It's a full service boutique travel agency.
Yes.
Specializing in luxury, affordable travel.
Absolutely. Anywhere in the world you want to go, any type of travel you want to do, we make it happen within the budget that you have set.
Can you just please drop your Instagram? And I'm going to say that because, I mean, I live vicariously through you and your travels because I've seen you, what was it, like the Blue Lagoon?
Yes.
Almost, I was like, come on, man.
Almost risked pneumonia, but I got some really dope Instagram pictures, and it was a really awesome experience.
Oh, well, almost doesn't count, so that's good.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. And then, so where have you traveled? We'll get into that in a second. But on top of you being the owner of the Wonderluster Travel Agency, you're also a part of a podcast here in Dallas.
I am one third of 10 and 2 podcasts, and we are essentially kind of, you know, what you're doing. We want to be able to create this space and give this opportunity where Black professional millennials can come together and talk about everything we're going through, whether it be personal, professional, social, economical, and just create the safe space where we can have conversation and discussion or spark conversation and discussion about the things we're dealing with while also providing this community that anybody can tap into and connect and network and engage. So I am one third of 10 and 2.
Yeah, 10. And who else are you? Who are your co-hosts?
No, I'm just kidding. So my co-hosts are the amazing, the successful, the incomparable Namdi Anozie and Aaron Blankenship. So that is the complete cast of 10 and 2.
Yeah, 10 and 2. Man, shout out to 10 and 2. Shout out to Blank. Shout out to Namdi because, I mean, I love what y'all do. I love the Failure to Launch series that y'all did. I mean, that was, you know, deep in the archives now, but I mean, that's
still
definitely
as applicable and still as important.
Yeah. I mean, because the way y'all's podcast is set up and just the dynamic of First of all, those two guys, I would almost say all of y'all are alphas almost.
We are. It's such a struggle.
Yeah. I would say all of y'all are alphas, but at the same time, sometimes it's like a seesaw, because at one point it's two of y'all teaming up on the other one, and then on the other times it's switched and flipped and flopped. But I mean, just the love that y'all have and just the content that y'all share, I really love that and really appreciate that. So, man, shout out to 10 and 2.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Because, like I said, y'all were one of the inspiring pieces of me starting my podcast.
Thank you. That's so beautiful. I mean, when we did it, simply to create a space for ourselves, and then we realized that this was a necessary space for other people, and to know that, you know, that inspired you to create this amazing podcast. And obviously you have people who you are providing a tangible experience for them, and that these people are able to make changes in their lives, and to be able to one, lay the foundation, and even if we weren't doing that, to be able to inspire you to take your purpose and your passion then and go and apply that, that's more worth it. Like, it's more than worth love, being able to.
Well, thanks. As you're sitting there talking, I just thought about something. You're actually the first female guest that we've had on Speak Your Success. I just realized that. I just pieced that together just now. I was like, wow.
Feminism 2019.
Cool.
I'm here for it. Yes. Yeah. I am honored. This is more special to me now. Thank you.
2019, I'm taking everything that's mine. Everything. I'm going to put my name on it. Oh, man. Okay, so, like, let's just get right into it. Can you share with us, like, a little bit about your story and, like, how you got to where you are now with the travel agency? And
of course.
Like where did this idea even come from?
Man. So it actually is really funny how it developed. I was a web developer for about 3 years working for a local marketing firm here in Dallas. And in April of last year, I was laid off. They outsourced all of our jobs overseas in Asia, which is understandable. But at the time, I had already been planning my travel every year since I got out of college. And that's really why I was like, I need to get out of college now, because I want to travel and I can't do it the way my academic schedule is set up. So I was upset because I got laid off, and I was like, okay, well, I already have all these trips planned, and I'm not trying to go back into corporate and then have to negotiate and say, oh, I have all this already pre-planned, pre-booked, and have to figure out PTO. So I was like, I'm going to just live my best life. I have, based on the financial literacy series, previously I'd already been making the necessary steps to put myself in a financial position where if something were to happen to my job, I was not SOL. So I actually had, literally, I was laid off on April 12th. I had a flight to Florida to go and watch my friend open up his play that weekend. And then the weekend after that, I had a flight to a family trip to Hawaii. And then in May, I had a week-long trip to Cuba. And then in July, I had a trip to Aruba. And so in my mind, it was just like, it doesn't make sense for me to go back to corporate. And in that process, I actually started traveling more domestically. And I went to the Summit 21 conference in Atlanta. Thank you to 2190. Thank you to Blavity. Thank you to Morgan DeBron for creating such an amazing space for Black women. Because I had been helping friends plan trips. It's like, oh, Alexia, you travel so much, and I don't understand how you do it, and you can afford it. I was like, well, let me show you. And I was already doing it, but I wasn't making money off of it. I was just putting people on. And I went to this conference, and it was talking about your passion and being an entrepreneur and just taking your skill set. I think that when we think about being an entrepreneur, we stop thinking about what we have to offer and start focusing on what we think people need. And the reality is, you can't focus on what other people need, because people don't know what they need until you provide it to them.
Oh my goodness, Dennis.
When I started, I was like, dude, this is what I do. And I was like, I'm gonna start my own travel agency. So I started doing the research. I literally had my business up and running within 20 days.
Wow.
I actually had to launch my business early. I was supposed to launch July 1st, ended up having it launch June 1st. I sent out a survey to gauge people's and my network's interest in having a travel agent.
Yeah.
And from that, it just took off. And one of the things I truly believe is when passion and purpose meet, God develops everything for you. And so
Pause. can you run that back one more time, just for the people in the back of the room? Can we run that back one more time?
When passion and purpose meet, God takes care of everything for you. And so this business has just continued to grow almost beyond my own capacity. And so I've just continued to stick it out. And I understand entrepreneurship can either be voluntary or involuntary. But at the end of the day, it's really about doing something you're passionate about. And I've found that when you're passionate about something, people become passionate about what you're passionate about. And so people who never even thought about travel, like you said, you see me and I make it a point to try and travel as much as I can, because if you see me traveling, you see this as my lifestyle, then it becomes more tangible for you. You're like, oh, mm-hmm. I know her. I know what she does. I'm friends with her. I can make this work. And then you want to start doing that. And travel is for me is really just about opening up your mind, body, and spirit to everything the world has to offer, both spiritually, geographically, culturally. Mm-hmm. And you can't really develop as a complete person without getting outside of what you know.
Wow. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. You said so much good stuff. I'm going to rewind it back.
Okay.
We're going to take it back a little bit to where you were talking about how we're going to go back to right when you got laid off. Mm-hmm. And then you said you had about 4 weeks straight of travel.
Well, I had 4 weeks straight of travel, but then I also just had trips planned out for the max in the next 4 months. And there was no way I was about to go to another business and be like, hey, can you work this out with me? Because I'm not going to waste my time interviewing knowing what I have going on. And also knowing that I have the cushion to not have to jump right back into corporate.
Mm. Well, how did you, even though I know you're not a financial planner.
Oh, Lord, no.
But I'm curious, like, can you just give us a step that you took to line up your finances to be able to support those trips that you had lined up, if you could?
Of course. So I did what most people should do is when you don't know, you find somebody who does. I don't really know much about financial education, and so to be completely honest, I'm a horrible budgeter. I spend what I earn because I earned it, and as long as my bills were paid, whatever it was after that, that was my mindset. As long as my bills were paid, whatever after that was mine, and I had to change my mindset around money because traveling became more valuable to me than anything I was buying. So essentially, I'm the type of person where I will go somewhere, and depending on how much something is, I'll be like, can I equate this to a trip? And if I can, I don't spend it. I put it towards a trip. And then I created, like what most people do, or what we try to do is whenever we have a need, we create a budget. Mm-hmm. So then I created a travel fund. So every 2 weeks, you know, prior to me even getting laid off, every 2 weeks I was putting money into a travel savings account. So that when it was time for me to make a move, a good deal came my way, I could jump on it. So it was just about taking what I did know and applying it, but then also filling in the gaps with what I didn't know. I know this may sound dumb, but there's unemployment insurance. Within your travel, within your financial advisor's plan, there's insurance for everything, honestly. There's a lot of resources available to you, and you just have to, if you don't know what they are, you find somebody who knows what they are. And so that's what I did. I just went out and found someone who can help set me up. And the irony is that you don't know what's at work until you are kind of coming out of the end of it. And it's so funny how God laid things before me in preparation for this. I hated my job. I hated my company. I hated who I was working for. I hated how they were doing business. And he knew I wasn't going to leave on my own. And so everything that he did was just, oh, man, I'm just so grateful and so blessed to be deemed worthy of his attention, his affection, and his planning, because it really was just the foundation that was laid for me. And when the opportunity presented itself, I just took it. And I just had to be faithful enough to move forward with it.
Man, I love that. I love that. And also, you were talking about travel, and you were talking about how travel is almost like, I don't want to call it holistic healing.
Yes.
But yeah, because I was actually talking with an older gentleman. It was this past week, and he's probably like 71 years old. And his finances are in order. He was talking about how he's about to be ready to go, but after he makes sure that each one of his kids has a house, like paid for, that they're, I was like, oh my goodness, wow, that's next level. And then on top of that, he said, I make sure that I travel every 90 days. He said, every 90 days, I'm going somewhere else. So hearing that and hearing you talk about travel, and I mean, my mind has been getting shifted towards travel as well, because after I sat down and talked with that gentleman, he said when he was, I'm not sure what country he was in, but he said, a guy asked him, he said, sir, do you mind if I ask you a question? He was like, yeah, what's going on? He said, I always see women traveling and going on girls' trips, but I never see black men. Why do black men not travel?
Are you asking me that
too? No. Well, I was just dropping that there. But through your travel agency, have you seen, or just through you and with the trips that you take, and would you say that is accurate? Like women versus the men as far as traveling? Like what do you have to say about that?
What I think is so interesting is the pushback, the excuses, and the hesitation of black men to travel. Yet those same black men hey, let's get a table at this club. Or let's go do this. Or let's go do that. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? You just paid for an international trip for a week with one night. And it's absolutely a huge discrepancy. And Black women, absolutely. And that's really one of the reasons I got in the business. Black women are one of the largest demographics when it comes to the travel world, yet we're the most underrepresented and most undermarketed too. We are traveling to these places, going in these spaces, bold, fearless, strong, unafraid, yet there aren't enough spaces for us. And so it's really about connecting with these companies and connecting with these businesses, both international and domestic and global, and saying, hey, this is an untapped market here. You have Black women who have the income, mm-hmm. who have the desire, and who are actually taking these trips, yet there aren't enough spaces around the world for them to interact and engage with each other. And that is exactly my experience, especially with men. I think that when I do see men traveling, most often I've never seen a man take a solo trip. The first thing they say is, oh, no, I can't do that. Like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. You won't. You can. You physically can, but you won't. But when it comes to men, there's always groups, bachelor parties, boys' trip. Ooh. I have, like, maybe a couple's trip, but outside of that, I've never had... I've yet to have men reach out and be like, hey, can you help me plan this?
Yeah, and now I'm thinking about you talking about the solo trip. It makes me go back to one of the episodes that you were talking about that on 10 and 2, and you were saying you were getting ready to go. And I think you were talking to Blank and Nom. Well, you were talking to Blank and Nomni, and I think Blank was like, wait, you're going to go, like, by yourself? Mm. You don't know anybody else that's going? Mm-hmm. And then you were like, no, I'm just about this life. I'm about to get this experience. This is where I want to go. I'm about to book the trip and then make it happen. I don't know what to say to that. I can't see myself going on a solo trip. Well, last year I went to Podcast Movement in Philly last year, but I don't know if that would be considered like a solo trip.
Where were your concerns? Did you have any drawbacks, doubts? Did you not enjoy it?
I would say I enjoyed it, but I think if I went with somebody else, that person probably would have been somewhat of a handicap, because you know when you go to If you go to a particular event, I won't say anybody else. I know sometimes if I know somebody who's at the event, I'll just get over there in the corner with that person and talk to that person. Mm-hmm. And then just have a conversation until either I see somebody else or until either I feel like it's just time for me to move on. Mm-hmm. But just understanding that, I think a person could be a handicap at an event like a Podcast Movement.
The wrong person can be a handicap on any trip. And that's what I think people need to understand. I first took a solo trip because I realized the people that I was currently trying to encourage and inspire to take these trips with me were not going to do it. And if I sat around and waited for them, I wasn't going to do it. And then I realized sometimes you have to go into the spaces that you want to be in to find the people that you can be in those spaces with. Mm. When I started traveling, my first solo trip, I actually met solo travelers. And we have become friends. Me and Kayla, shout out to Kayla. We actually linked up again in Asia. We didn't even plan it. We just both ended up in Asia at the same exact time, and we ended up spending our trip, a part of our trip together. And I had met her 3 years prior on our solo trip to Paris. Mm. And one thing I found is the difference between when I travel by myself and when I travel with friends is I actually meet less people when I travel with friends than when I go by myself.
But hold on, pause. You have to pause. You have to say that piece one more time. You said sometimes you have to travel.
Sometimes you have to go into the spaces to find the people to build that network that makes you comfortable. I realize I'm not going to be able to. The people that I'm currently trying to encourage to travel with me, they're not doing it. But if I want to find people to travel with me, I probably need to travel to find the people who are traveling and be like, hey, we should travel together here and there. And I did.
That's applicable information. Like, you can cut that here, and you can paste that in entrepreneurship. Yeah. You can paste that in getting a mentor. You can paste that
anywhere,
wherever, because that's, oh my goodness.
And that's just about, and that's just in anything, and to everybody who's listening, it is very difficult for us because we really weren't armed with the social skills to put ourselves out there. Rejection is something we have always been taught to avoid and fear. So we don't go into spaces, okay, for instance, I want to be a millionaire one day. How are you going to be a millionaire? You ain't got a single millionaire friend or connection. So you are saying to me that your plan is to become a millionaire, yet you don't have a resource that you can personally connect with, reach out to, and communicate and engage and discuss and use resources from. Sometimes you have to go into the spaces that you want to be in, find somebody that can bring you in, and then build that network around you. Otherwise, we're always going to be sitting around waiting for these things to come to us. I don't have time to sit around. Mm-hmm. We really don't have time to sit around. As millennials, we have to stop thinking that time is infinite and we have all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. You do and you don't. And then when you find that balance, then you'll start seeing that a lot of the things that you want out of life will start, the wheels will start turning and they'll start coming to you. But if you're sitting around waiting for these things and you think that, oh, you know, it's going to take a certain milestone or a certain landmark or a certain amount of time, like, no. You have to be willing to go get what God is giving you and stop waiting around for it.
Well, I think this is the perfect place to drop the definition of what a wanderluster is.
Yes.
And a wanderluster is a person who has transitioned from wondering about traveling to lusting after the satisfaction of traveling. A risk taker, a resident of the world. Oh, my goodness. You just plug and play right there. So how did you come up with that name? Were you just thumbing through the dictionary one day and you were like,
no, because technically even the way I spelled it was different. Well, first off, I really was coming up with the name based off of a patent and trademark. So with what I developed as my business plan, the potential to develop more businesses, more opportunities, more products, I had to make sure that there were no issues when it came to patents and trademarking.
That legal matters.
Then when I thought about who I was as a traveler and I thought about who I wanted to connect with, my audience is a wanderluster, not a wanderluster. Wanderlusting is the sensation of traveling and picking up and going and almost being a nomad and just always ready to go. But there are so many people who wonder about travel and want to travel but have not transitioned into the actual action of traveling. And those are the people I want to work with. Those are the people I want to help. And those are the people who I want to engage and provide the tools for. And so that's kind of where, Lord knows, I wish I could go back and remember, but it was, and like I said, I think when you're, you know, passionate, purpose, meet, things just come. And because like I said, this came very quickly. I wasn't something I spent 6 months on. I didn't hire a marketing team to develop a name for me. It was just something that developed.
Okay, so we're talking about passion, purpose, all those great things. What is your, have you found your purpose? And what is it, if you have?
I know my passion.
Okay.
And my passion is for travel, but not just traveling. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna get on a plane and go to New York for a week and do tour stuff. That's not what I'm saying. The true traveler and what traveling really should be about people is about connecting worlds and cultures that are oceans apart, and going to places and spaces where you can be seen and you can be your own representation, especially as people of color. Because I think we are the only demographic around the world that has such strong racist prejudices. And there are so many demographics who have never interacted with a person of color before. So when you can go into these spaces and meet these people, not only are you giving them an opportunity to learn and interact and grow from you, but you are meeting these people who you otherwise would have never knew existed. Cambodia is a beautiful country, beautiful people. There's a whole history there. A whole history then that some people will never even know. And some people won't really see a connection to, but when in actuality, when you start traveling the world, you realize that we are all intertwined and connected in the most spiritual and beautiful way, but you won't know that if you don't go out into the world and see it. And I think that just always breaks my heart, especially being from New Orleans, growing up, being partially raised in the projects and to where I am now. There are some people who literally never leave a 5-block radius of where they were born and grow up, much less travel out of the state. And it's so daunting because to see the world, it grows you whether you want it to or not. And you come back enlightened and you come back informed and educated and you come back able to share a perspective that you otherwise wouldn't have. And so that's why travel is my passion. And purpose to me is, you know, it's an ongoing thing. My purpose is going to be different as my life changes. Right now my purpose is to help people travel and not break the bank. One day my purpose is going to be a mom, and then my passion will just be what gives me money to be a mom, and then my purpose is going to be a wife and then a mentor. My purpose is always going to change, but right now I know for a fact what my passion is, and I'm not going to give up on that.
I love that. Yeah, I really love that. So just understanding that, it sounds like, I guess we can pull a page from Michelle Obama's book.
Woo!
Because you.
Thanks, Mom.
Because it just from hearing what you're describing, it's very similar to how I heard Michelle Obama, I believe, somewhat describe her book, or it was just in a talk that she was sharing. and she's talking about like becoming with her book that dropped. And she says, we're always becoming, we're always growing, we're always evolving. Like when you hear that, what do you think?
Mom, God. Michelle, I just want to say, Michelle Obama has given us so much in her lifetime. We as a people will never be able to repay her for what she's given us. And when I read her book and when I experienced her book, and I only got through like the first 5 chapters, and I was like, she gathered my life and taught me so much in 5 chapters that I was just like, I'm overwhelmed. But what she said something was so profound, because that is very true. When we were growing up, people always ask, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or what do you want to do? What do you see your life as? And they do that in such a finite way, in that, oh, if you're a doctor, you're always going to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to be a lawyer, you're always going to be a lawyer. And there's nothing ever beyond that. And so we've been conditioned to think, like, once we reach certain successes, then you know, no one ever talks about what comes after that. But it's because we're not conditioned, or we're not trained, or we're not raised, or we're not taught to think. Becoming is always going to be something new. Every decade of your life, every season of your life is going to be about you becoming something more, something better, something newer. And that was absolutely so profound in what she said, and it kind of validate what you kind of feel, but no one's telling you, you know? And then it also kind of gives you that space to take a step back and be like, it's okay, you know, to be who I am in this season and also to be somebody else next season. Because I also feel like that's a frowned upon. There's some people, you know, oh, you know, you're not stable, or you don't have everything together, or you have this and you have that. It's like, keep, you know, stay over there. You know, becoming is all about constantly having a willingness to grow and evolve as on an individual and professional and personal and social, whatever basis. It's about that willingness to constantly evolve and grow. And I think that she kind of gave us this permission through her book to be like, thank you for telling me I don't have to be a single thing. Because I feel like when we spend so much time perfecting that single thing, and we realize we don't even want to be that in the first place. That wasn't even what I wanted for my life. And I spent 8 years in school. I did a residency, and I am out here with a mortgage and student loan debt to be a doctor. And my passion is this, being a chef. And I think that's what she did. And that's kind of, she fed into my journey and the walk that I'm on right now. And I think that her book couldn't have come out at a better time. And I'm just so thankful for Mom.
Yeah. So just really hearing what your thoughts were as you just really unpacked what becoming looks like for you. And I think that sometimes it's almost like we've been sold a false dream.
We have.
Because our parents, they went to school. After school, they basically got the job. Mm-hmm. Some of them got laid off. Mm. Whatever else happened, you know, and this was something that I believe affected our perception of success, affected our perception of what we desire to see or strive towards. But even coming to that, I think it's just the place of striving toward a final destination. But then it's like right before we get there, it's almost like we change the direction of the GPS, and then it's like, oh wow, I have to go 10 more miles. Oh wow! So it's almost like just chasing a ghost.
It is. You're chasing a false dream, because then you think about the foundation just in this the 1900s alone. You have a generation that was sold the American dream, and they literally worked themselves to death trying to achieve it. Then they raised a generation of children who was to carry on that kind of work ethic. And then they raised a group of children who they kind of forced into that same pathway, but we're the first generation to be like, nah, I'm good. Like, that's not, we're really the first generation to kind of break away and be like, this isn't really working for y'all. So I'm going to go ahead and risk it on my own terms instead of trying to do what you're doing. And a lot of things came into play about that. You know, millennials, we're not getting married as soon. We're not buying homes as soon. Mm-hmm. We're not having kids as soon. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a lot of things that back in the day would be considered risky or immature or irresponsible. And to that I say, touche. Touche. And I mean, because at the end of the day, what has ever come from doing the same thing over and over again and failing? You know, there are people who are literally still in their like 70s and 80s having to work part-time jobs just to make ends meet, and you worked your whole life. Why am I going to continue to strive for your idea of an American dream or that American dream that they sold us when I can create my own American dream? And I think entrepreneurship is really the only way. Now, I apologize. Entrepreneurship is the best way to do such a thing. And I will say, when working for a company and I got laid off, it kind of put things into perspective for me, because it was daunting and devastating to know that my livelihood was in the hands of a company. And at any point in time, I could be forced of not knowing where, how I'm going to pay my bills, if I'm going to be evicted, how I'm going to eat, how I'm going to pay my car note, like all of these things looming over me. But my life is in my hands now. Mm. How I eat, how I get around, how I do things, it's in my control. If I decide to sleep till 12 o'clock, I'm not waking up out of my sleep devastated that I might get fired because I slept in. Mm. I'm in control of my own life. And that's why I think as a generation, we're having more and more millennials, because we realize that the things that we want out of our lives, we will not find on this path, and we have to create our own path, and that's okay. Mm. And it's also okay if you're very successful in corporate and doing the traditional, you know, striving for the American dream the traditional way, but I also think that it's okay for people who see their American dream a little bit differently and go after that.
That's good. That's really good, because I think that sometimes we get caught and like we get caught in that rat race. We're just running on the hamster wheel, because we take a job that some of us might have not wanted to take, because just to your point earlier, that we have a mortgage for student loans. So now, okay, so now I have to take this job. And then some of us might get a car just because we live in Uptown in Dallas, where rent is at least $1,500 on the low end. And now you're just trying to keep up with everybody else. And then your bank accounts and... Yeah, and your in your bank account is just in the negative, because we're going for what we think that we're supposed to do. Mm. We're trying to impress other people. Like Will Smith said, we spend all this money, we spend all this time trying to buy stuff and impress all these other people who don't care about us anyway.
Who don't care. And I know this is like completely off topic, but I learned this lesson in college. There was this girl, Jessica Von Hoven. I love you, Jessica. We went to school together from middle school all the way through high school. And I used to be so jealous of her. She just looked like she had the perfect life, and she was just so happy. She had everything. And I will never forget, it was a random Friday night in college, and she called me. Mind you, we didn't go to the same school. She lived in New York. She was at a fashion industry school. She called me, and she was just like, hey. She's like, I just want to talk to you. And she started pouring her heart out. She's like, I've just always been so jealous of you. She's like, you're so, you know, so beautiful, and you're so smart. You have everything going for you, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and in the back of my mind, I was like, what the f-? I've spent years being jealous of this girl. Years being jealous and envious of this girl, and she calls me on a random Friday night in college and tells me that she's been envious of me, and that's when I realized I wasted so much time worrying about other people, being worried about this other person, what they had going on, what they were doing, and the whole time they were jealous of me. I said, what a waste of what a waste envy and jealousy is. Like, what was the point of me feeling that way? And when I realized that, now today, if I'm buying something, I'm buying something because I want it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you even know I own it. I'm not here to stunt and flex on the gram with it. I'm buying it because I want to. And you, because your opinions about me are going to be what your opinions about me are, because you're either going to do one thing. There are going to be people who are going to be like, man, she must be really successful. She has money. She's this. She's that. She's so cool. And then there are going to be people who are like, man, I know she, you know, I know she broke. I know she's just out here trying to please other people. Because, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I do that. I see that you, what's, like, I, look. I know what a 5 series maintenance costs, okay? You have a 5 series, but you live in an apartment. No offense, but financially, why not put that money towards a mortgage and a real estate investment? You're doing it because you want people to see that you drive a luxury car, and you want everything that comes with a luxury car. But in my mind, unless you have a certain income, it doesn't make sense that you're spending $600-$700 on an oil change. So let's talk about it. And that's what I'm saying. If you're going to do something in your life, do it for you. And do it because it makes you happy. The minute you start doing things for other people, it's going to fail you every time. And it's going to be a costly lesson to learn.
Oh, Dennis, it's going to be a costly lesson to learn. Man,
And I'm sorry if you guys have BMWs and everything. Look, I'm just saying, I'm not judging. All I'm saying is there are those people. There's two people. People who are going to see you, and they're going to be the people who are like, yeah, girl, you got to go, and you doing this. And they're going to be people who be like, girl, I know you're just out here trying to stunt. All I'm saying is, if you're going to do something in life, do it for you, and do it because it makes you happy.
I think that's one of the things, like, with our generation. I mean, this applies to other generations, but I've seen firsthand with our generation, because I used to go to school with a guy. I'm not going to put his name out there. I'll just call him Lil J. And he would always have the new Jordans when they came out. We're talking college now. We're not talking high school. He would always have the new Jordans. And then every time we would go on break from our chemistry lab, then we would go to Chicken Express. And once we hit Chicken Express, he would always say, hey, man, y'all can get me on lunch? And I was like, wait a minute. You have, I think, two jobs. And you have all the Jordans. And he had, like, the kid-sized foot. But I was like, but you can't.
Buy food.
But you can't get your own food. And, I think that's a thing with this generation. Just, and I blame social media. But, of course, you know, who's behind social media? And I say that because we're so fixated on seeing what filter makes this picture look the best. We go, some people might take travel and do some trips that they really can't afford, and they're like, hey, I'm living my best life, look at me. But then they don't want to tell you they lost their bags and baggage claim. You know, they don't want to tell you that they bought their ticket, but they're trying to figure out how to buy my ticket back because they didn't have a travel agent to get them set up right.
Or that they bought their ticket and they got there and now they can't do any of the things that they want to do. And then they can barely, like, like I said, it just doesn't make sense. And I think the hardest thing about what you said is that Frederick Douglass said it best, it is easier to raise good men than to repair broken children.
That's my signature on my emails. That's
crazy. Love that quote because he's so right. And the issue that we have is, I can say this for myself. I was a child being raised by children because my parents were 20 when they had me. They were very, very young. They really didn't have a childhood of their own, really. And so the things that you should be teaching your children, our generation of parents couldn't focus on because they were focused on trying to, like, give us the best. And they were focused on trying to make sure we stayed alive and trying to make sure we had this and that. But then they bred this generation of children who value things more than they value themselves. And so you have all of this nice stuff, yet your rent's due, your bills are late, and you can't feed yourself. But you have that really beautiful Louis Vuitton bag that you bring to work every day, but you don't have any money in your wallet. And it's because we've been taught to value all the wrong things.
Ooh.
And we've been taught to care about what the wrong people think. And that's the problem. The people who care won't mind, and the people who mind don't matter. And we just do it to ourselves, and you have to consciously decide, like, I sometimes get sucked into it, and I'm sort of like, man, I should do this, or I feel like if I want to be taken seriously, I need to do this. But at the end of the day, that's not what my bank account says. And what I'm not about to do is go broke trying to please somebody who either will look at me and think, sis, you did it wrong, but I'm gonna help you anyway, or be like, sis, I was never gonna help you in the first place. So you have to be willing to make those changes because, like I said, we think we have infinite amount of time, but costly mistakes can cost you time in itself. You know, you'd be surprised what 6 months of discipline can do for you, whether it's financial discipline, where it's mental discipline, spiritual discipline, you know, whatever that may be, and how it can set you up for 10 years of success. But you're so focused on that 6 months of sacrifice.
Yeah, I think, and with you saying that, I think that's the piece where people get deterred because instead of looking at what this financial account or what this whatever will be in 6 months, we focus on the sacrifice because we've constantly, and I'm generalizing everybody, I'll say at times I know I've ridden on instant gratification. So then in the times where it's like, okay, John, you need to be disciplined now, it's harder to be disciplined in certain areas because all my life I've been, oh, I want this, I'm gonna buy it. Oh, I want this, I buy it. Oh, okay, I don't have the money. Oh, I have a credit card, so let me buy it. And then later I have to pay the interest back, and then I'm trying to figure out as I'm paying off on my credit card, I'm like, well, what did I even buy?
Man, if I could tell you all the things I've bought and then forgot I bought and then lost, like, man, oh, man. But I'm not displacing accountability, but I think the most important thing is it doesn't matter how we got here. It's about how we're going to move forward and what changes you're going to be comfortable making. And that's the most important thing because you'd be surprised. I was talking about, I'm dating currently.
I wouldn't want to ask you that on the podcast, but that's what's up.
Yeah, I'm dating currently. And one of the guys I'm dating, we were talking and I was like, he actually stayed in one weekend. I was like, okay, babe, how much money did you save this weekend? He's like, oh, I stayed $150. Like, and you didn't even try? And I was like, okay, set that aside. And he was like, no, I'm just going to keep it in my account. I was like, no, take it out of your account and put it aside because you saved that and put it towards something else. And you'd be surprised how little sacrifices, like not eating out as much and not going, you know, happy hour. Because what they're doing is capitalism is conditioning us like, oh, here's this happy hour. I'm going to give you $5 drinks. You're going to spend $40, $50 in drinks. $40, $50 you wouldn't have otherwise spent. but you're still spending that on liquor where you could have bought a bottle for half of that instead at home. Instead. So what I'm saying is there's so many opportunities for us to make small sacrifices that'll really pay off. Because I understand that need for a kind of instant gratification or to be able to see your hard work paying off. There are some things you can do. For my birthday, I wanted to get a section, and I was like, I wanted to get a section and go out, and I started shopping around for prices, and I said, y'all are out your cotton picking mines.
Out of there.
Out of your.
I can't even. I literally, in that moment,
oh, I was like, I need to open up a club, because if this is what y'all are charging, you're charging me $420 for a bottle of Jack Daniels. That's like a thousand. That's like 1,200% markup.
It's ridiculous.
I could bring my own Jack Daniels. What do you mean?
I probably could just take the time, go home, pour it in my bathtub, make a bathtub brew, and then have my own John Daniels, because that's ridiculous.
It is insane. But when you do think of things like that, and that's why I was like, I was so funny, because I see people do that all the time. I'm like, so you spent $1,500 on a section on top of the liquor you bought. I could have probably stretched either 4 domestic trips or 2 international trips out of what you spent in one weekend. Wow.
See, now as we're talking about finances and just talking about all this stuff, I think that this is a good point to bring it back around to travel, because now, like after having the conversation with the older gentleman, having the conversation with you, and then also me and my girlfriend, we've had some conversations just about travel, because she travels. Okay, she was like, I'm looking at how many trips I want to go on this year, and I want to go out of state, and I want to go out the country. And I'm like, okay, you know, like I'm just listening to her. I'm just listening. I'm like, okay, cool. That's what's up. But it wasn't a point where I really, like, I guess there's the point for me. I was like, okay, well, I want to invest this money more so in my business. But now seeing that travel is self-care, seeing travel is therapeutic, seeing travel is necessary. So now I'm like, okay.
And, you know, travel isn't for everybody, but I want to take it back to the gentleman you spoke to this past week, and he said something that I live by, and he said, you know, every 90 days, I don't care where I'm going, but I make sure I go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that it is so easy to get into a routine and to start living a mundane lifestyle and to make excuses of why you can't switch things up. Oh, I have a job, or oh, I can't go, I don't have enough money. You make time for it, and you do what you want to do.
Yes, that's true.
And I will say this, when I was working for corporate, I would start to get into, to this day, I'll get back from a trip and I'd be like, bro, I gotta go. They're like, you were just gone. I'd be like, I know, but I've been here too long, I gotta go. And it's just about, travel can be so many things to so many people, but travel really is self-care, because people don't give enough to unplugging themselves. You can't really unplug yourself in a city where you live over the weekend after you worked a 40 plus hour week, and then you're involved in other things, and you're only getting like 6 hours of sleep, and you're working, and you're up until 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you've had a whole day, and even though you spent that whole day doing multiple things, you don't realize that when you don't take yourself out of this environment and recharge, you're really only catching up on what is already a deficit. So, yeah, you stayed in this weekend and you didn't do anything, but you were already in the negative mentally and spiritually and emotionally. So you're not recharged. You're just a little bit out of that deficit. So when you leave, even if you take a drive down to Austin, go eat at the food trucks in Austin, go smell the Austin air, get away from the people and the environment and the apartment and the house that you live in, the routine that you have, and recharge. And that's why travel is so important. When you think of travel, it doesn't immediately have to be like, oh, it's so expensive, or oh, this is an expense. Stop thinking of travel like it's an expense that is not valuable. I can guarantee you what you get out of travel will pay you back tenfold if you go in with the right mindset.
And what mindset is that? Just an open mindset? Just open, no reservation?
An open mindset. Be open to any and everything that happens. It'll teach you about yourself. It'll teach you about your capacity. It'll teach you about what you can and can't tolerate. It'll teach you about what you like, what you don't like. And at the end of the day, you might just want to learn if you enjoy traveling. There's some people who just don't like traveling, and that's fine. But if I ask you if you don't like traveling, I'd be like, oh, where have you been? I haven't been nowhere. Then you don't not like traveling, because you can't like something you haven't done. Which you may have. Let's talk about the things that are keeping you from traveling. Let's do that instead. But traveling, man, traveling has saved me a number of times from a deep depression and a certain height of anxiety that is just very toxic. And something as simple as a trip, and I mean, I'm not saying you guys got to do that. You don't go trot around Asia for a month, But go drive down to Austin. Go to Wichita Falls. Like, really just get out of the environment you're in, because, like I said, it's so easy to get caught up in this 9 to 5. We're on a hamster wheel.
Yeah, the hamster wheel.
And even hamsters get tired of it, and they die. They don't have a long lifespan. They're not happy.
I didn't know that. Oh,
they're
wow.
not. Yeah, they're not happy. Like, they're not. Mm. So be open to it. And be open to anything that can happen. And don't be the type of person that, oh, if a few bad things happen, well, my flight was delayed, and then I got there, and the hotel lost my reservation. Things happen in life. Things are always going to happen. There's no guarantees. But you, through traveling, I've learned patience. I've learned resilience. Mm-hmm. I've learned understanding. I've learned to stop thinking everything is about me and stop thinking that someone or something is out to get me.
Wow.
Someone's plotting against me, that someone's spiritually attacking me. So many things have, like, I've been tested through travel, and because of that, I've just become a better person and a better traveler.
That's powerful. That's really powerful. So now I'm curious to hear from you. We talked a little bit, and I told you this was coming up. So I want to hear, though, just all that you've described, all those adjectives that you just used just now. But how would you describe yourself, like, in 5 words? Like, what would be the 5 words that you would describe yourself as? Or how would you just describe yourself in 5 words?
The funny thing about it is you gave me a heads up, and this is always just such a hard thing to do. Like I told you, you know, you never want to oversell or undersell yourself. And then in my own self-awareness, I'm just so many things. But I will condense them to 5 just for you.
Please do. Master's graduate, please do.
I will say resilient. Resilient is me through and through. It's in my blood. I have it tattooed on at the top of my spine. I will say ambitious, but not ambitious in the way that we think about it.
No, don't apologize.
Ambition for me is about being, is not just about having, you know, a go-getter attitude. Ambition to me is about defining who you want to be and how you want to live your life, and then actually putting that in action. I wouldn't say I am ambitious, but I have a lot of ambition. And so that's another word I would use to describe me. Intelligent,
okay.
Of course. Me and education are literally, that's probably going to be the second longest relationship I've ever been in my life. Articulate. I really think that words are so powerful, and being able to communicate a message in a way where your message is not just heard but understood is important. And sometimes that means not speaking quickly and taking time to think. And so that's something I really pride myself on, because I don't believe in apologies. I also don't believe in repeating myself. And so
you don't believe in apology? Oh, wow.
No, because apologies come from, how can I put this? An apology is identifying an action and having remorse with the intention of change. And that, to me, apologies almost remove accountability from the person and their actions in the first place. So I do apologize for unintended consequences or unintended actions, such as, you know, I understand I was being honest with you, but I apologize that it hurt you the way it did. But I'm not sorry for what I said. I apologize for the way in which it hurt you.
Okay.
And that's why, like, I just don't like taking accountability away from the people whose actions or words are said. Because we're very aware of what we're doing.
Mm.
You know, that, like, stop pretending like, you know, oh, I didn't know. No, you knew. That's why you did it. And that's why, again, that's why being articulate and be able to communicate in a way that's, you know, impactful and powerful is really important to me. I'm also, I don't know, I'm the most serious, non-serious person you'll ever meet, and I don't really know if there's a word for that. I do think that there is an important to have a balance between taking yourself serious enough to get things done and not taking yourself too serious to where you can't enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know of a word for that. I'll say balanced. I'm balanced.
That's fair.
And lastly, I would say you have to have a little bit of courage to do what I do, to be an entrepreneur. You have to be a little bit more courageous every day. And so even though I wasn't necessarily courageous when I started out, almost making a year and 2 months, I would have to say it takes a lot of courage to go out on the limb and put all your faith in the plan that God has for you, and to trust that it's going to work itself out. And if it doesn't work itself out, that He's going to have a backup plan for you. So those are my five words. That was a good break.
I think you snuck an extra word in there, but it's fine.
I think I stuck an extra like definition in there, you know? Maybe a little bit, like a little tidbit about me that you maybe wouldn't have otherwise found out. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm definitely with you on the courageous piece, because that's one thing I'm currently learning now, just being completely transparent. Like, because we talked a little bit before the podcast, and I was like, you know, things were like, it looked like things were skyrocketing last year, or I had my highest amount of speaking engagements last year in November, and then now things, I still have some speaking engagements lined up, but it's still like, okay, I want to duplicate last year's November. Like, I want that to be every month. And I think that's still the instant gratification. I think that's still just, I don't want to call it a false reality, because I don't think that's what it is. However, I just know that, well, now just in the space that I'm at with me and me being a man of faith, I believe that was just God showing me a glimpse of what the future could look like. Just kind of like Joseph, because my middle name is Joseph. And of course, for those who might not know, story time. So Joseph was the younger brother, and then he eventually got his brothers basically sold him into slavery because he spoke too soon about the vision that God had for him. And then, you know, they're like, oh, no, you're not going to rule over us. We're not going to bow down to you. You're tripping. So then they basically sold him off. They thought that the people was going to kill him. They didn't really care what happened to him. And then he was in prison, but yet he still used his gift in the capacity where he was at. Tangible lesson, gem dropper. Alert, gem dropper alert, Dennis. I think sometimes, no matter who we are, no matter what our gift is, no matter where we are in our life, no matter how down we are, no matter how overwhelmed we might become, we have to use our gift if we're boxed into a corner. We have to use our gift in that dark space. We have to use our gift in prison, wherever it might be, so that ultimately we can be elevated. But yeah, I think that's a thing, because with our generation, I am generalizing, because I know more people that do this than not. They have a gift. They have something that they can utilize either to monetize it or ultimately to impact somebody's lives. But sometimes they're like, no, I don't. I'm not going to do that. Or, but what will people think? How will they look at me?
Who cares what people think?
I mean, that's one of the biggest, like, fear is one of the biggest things that I think is imaginary, but we give it life. We give fear form.
It's like that. Okay, so I know you guys are going to think that's weird, but I love this. I love Stephen King, and so I love his whole series, It. I think the whole thing is comical, even though it's a horror, because it really feeds into, we think it's like a children's story because it's based off of children, but it feeds into us as adults as well. And fear is only as powerful as you allow to be. Yeah. And I was telling my friend on the way here, we are the soul destroyers of ourselves. No one can destroy you, one, unless you give them the power to, or two, unless you are willing and you're your own self-destruction. And I of all people, understand how detrimental and how scary fear can be. But I also would be remiss if I didn't tell you from the other side, there's nothing to be afraid of. Because everything that you, I mean, anything that, I'm going to lose my family, I'm going to lose my wife, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose my car. I tell people all the time, if it's not going to kill you, that means you're going to survive it, which means there's a next step, which means there's a plan after this, which means there's something more to be gotten. And you have to be willing to go out on a, one, if you have to be willing to take a risk on yourself, you also have to be willing to say, this is something that I had to do. And it was not for me, and I know it was not for me because God took it out of my path. And you have to be comfortable with God taking things out of your path to provide something better. You have to be doing, and I mean, I will say this, and I'm the farthest thing from religious, but you need to actually have the faith you talk so much about.
Oh, Dennis. Oh, my goodness.
And if you don't do it, and like you said, that article, faith and worry do not go hand in hand.
They don't mix.
You cannot be worried about the future God has planned for you and the future he's laid for you and say, oh, I'm faithful in his plan. And if you have to be like me, I literally have Post-its all over my life. Like, I have Post-its on my bathroom mirror. I have Post-its on my mirror in my bedroom. And they speak to those fears. I will not give up on myself because he has none. I will not give up on him. I will not forget my purpose. I will not forget that this moment is temporary and that this moment is bigger than myself. You have to sometimes be your own affirmation and give yourself your own affirmations to get yourself out of your own head. Because I will say this, all of the assumptions and fears that we have are self-inflicted. And if there are people in your life creating doubt and fear in your capability, kick those people out. I don't care if it's your mom. I don't care if it's your dad, your cousin, your boyfriend, your sister, your lover. Oh. Anyone who is deflecting their insecurities onto you will not feed your growth. Mm-hmm. And we don't have time to not be growing. Period. We don't have time for it. We just don't.
So after we just had that spiritual moment, just talking about affirmations and just talking about all of that great stuff, I want to give you the opportunity just to let people know where they can find you. And then after that, I want you just to drop a final thought for us, just something to give to the people, if that wasn't your final thought.
Of course. So again, I am Alexia Flattenberg. I am the founder of the Wonderlustre Travel Agency, and we are committed to all things travel for people of color, just giving you the opportunity to see the world the way it should be seen in a budget that works for you. We are on Instagram at Wonderlustre Agency. We are also online at www.wonderlustre.com. Now we are Wonder, WunderLustre.com. My final thought for everyone listening, and I want to thank all of you for sitting through my voice and everything that I had to say. I want to say the most powerful thing you will do in this life is take a chance on yourself. And it doesn't matter if you wanted to start a business, if there is a girl or a man that you have an interest in and you've been too afraid to take a risk. At the end of this life, we're going to have to look back on the things that we did and the things we did not do. And you're going to be the sole person responsible for any disappointment or regrets you have. So be willing to take a chance on yourself. Be comfortable with whatever your passion may be. Be comfortable in knowing that we're a very small population. And I'm going to be completely transparent. Going after your dreams can be lonely. But that's okay, because you can't take everybody with you where you want to go. And you also have to realize that. So I hope that someone walks away from this, whether it's tomorrow or 6 months from now or a year from now, and decides to take a chance on themselves for whatever they want out of life, because you deserve all the happiness that this life has to give you, and the only person keeping it from you is yourself. Mm. So I hope you guys take a risk on yourselves, because then other people will take a risk and a chance on you as well.
I'm with it. This is TEDx speaker and best-selling author Jonathan Jones with the owner of the Wonderlustre Travel Agency, Miss Alexia. And we're always reminding you to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you want to live any other way?
That's a word.